Are we on?
Yeah.
Romans 16.
Oh, man.
Verse 19.
We're closing in.
For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. The word obedience here is interesting. It's a word, it's hypako, and it means, it's translated as submission and complaint in the New Testament.
Compliant or complaint?
Compliance, I'm sorry. Compliant. Submission and compliance. However, in the Old Testament, when it was translated into Greek, in the Septuagint happened in 165 in the Ptolemy, Pharaoh had ordered the 70 or the Torah should be translated into the 70 languages, and that's what all of the ancient rabbis thought that would bring forth the end of the world. This word was used in a way that is totally different. It means favorable hearing. So that's what the way the word was translated by the scholars in the olden days. So obedience was favorable hearing, and that sort of comports with how obedience is described in the Old Testament. It's the idea of hearing under. And we in English, obedience is the English word. It's just totally wrong for what the spiritual meaning is. Because the spiritual meaning, again, is that you would hear under any circumstance. You would remain at peace under any circumstance of your life. So you hear under, and you learn obedience by the things that you suffer. And that doesn't make any sense to our minds. Because we think obedience means if you tell somebody what to do, they go do it. Therefore, they're obedient. That's not what obedience means spiritually. Obedience means that you have so stayed under that you have become familiar with the heart and intent of the Father, so that He no longer tells you what to do, because you are so familiar with His mystery that you do it without Him telling you to. Now, this is the real mystery of obedience, and it's totally missed in our in language, and that's why we get every other word these charismaniacs say, well, and God told me, and God, when I were talking, and He told me to do this, and He told me to tell you to send in $300,000 or whatever. That's what Copeland did with that airplane. God clearly revealed to me, He told me, and I was supposed to believe for that citation, $10, $20 million jet.
Two of them.
And
then He changed His mind.
And so, I'm telling you who follow me that you need to be obedient and fulfill that which God told me to do. That's not obedience. That's well, at best, it's childish. So let's look at a couple of places. Let's go to Hebrews 5.
Just one thing that reminds me of this is where Jesus said, "I do as my Father does."
Right.
He was so in that place that He and his father were one.
But he didn't do that until he learned obedience for the things that he suffered. By waiting under whatever circumstance he was in. Instead of, I'm going to lean on my own understanding and I'm going to fix this. What? You're doing it again.
Yeah, well, I mean, this position is fundamental to discipleship.
Yeah, all other just creates
because
heresies.
If you examine yourself, you'll find that you really don't want that. And then you do. And then you do.
Hebrews 5. When the last verse of 4 is, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and them that are out of the way, for that he himself also was compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought as for the people also for himself to offer for sins. But no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he is called of God as was Aaron. So Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he said in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So, you know, the priesthood of Christ, it includes all of the offerings and the mysteries of the feasts and everything, but it's much more because he's after the order of Melchizedek. And that's, it's before the law, but it encompasses all the law. It's like Passover. Passover was instituted before the law, but it encompassed in meaning everything. And so does this priesthood of Melchizedek. It encompasses everything. Let's see what he says. This is talking about Christ, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, and this means a legitimate soul, he was the only begotten Son of God. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, that is a mind-blowing concept. That Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. But what do we do? Again, every aspect of our life, from the beginning of our self-awareness, was we move towards pleasure and away from pain. We move towards fulfillment and away from suffering. That's the nature of the beast. That's the nature of the fall. So we never learn obedience because we may suffer physically, but we're in our mind, we've already gone to the next step. And so our mind isn't transformed. You got it?
I found while you were reading this, I got the word obedience is so ingrained to mean obey that I have to keep kicking myself.
Right, because the way you've learned it is a tradition of man.
Right.
As opposed to the mystery of God.
Right, so the gospel's hidden unless you're plowed up. And
right.
Like even this right here, he learned what favorable hearing or however that word is truly interpreted by the things he suffered. That's
he learned hearing under to the ultimate. He took it as far as it can go, down to and including obedience after death. I mean, if you believe what the scriptures say, that he spent 3 days in hell, I mean, that would have, he was Son of God, that would be like child's play. It would be like he would blow and they would be destroyed. But that's not what happened. He overcame, but he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He waited in that unbelievably terrible, terrifying place, the Son of Man, for the Father to direct the Spirit in his resurrection.
Yeah.
But we think we got it together. So we go in and find we're in a quandary. What we do? You have a number of choices. What do you do? Well, let's see. What every man does, he make a decision. Christ never made a decision. A believer never makes a decision. You wait until there is no decision. There's one path, and it includes down to and including the smallest details of your life. Well, nobody likes it. Christ didn't like it. We got to do something here. This isn't working because you're blocking me seeing.
Oh.
You gotta just move back. You don't mind.
Like Harry used to do.
Turn your chair. Yes.
Slight move, yes.
How's this?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I don't know why, but I have to be able to see everybody's eyes.
No, that's okay.
So I know when they're holding it in. This is really, really, really big in terms of how you conduct your life. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect. Perfect here is the Greek word teleos. Teleos doesn't have anything to do with our idea of perfection. Teleos means that you have been fully and completely tested. And nothing in the universe can pull you away from mercy and take you away from peace. Oh, but you don't understand. Sue made me mad. You don't understand. No.
Only his lack of obedience, immediate gratification
lack of obedience means that you don't want to suffer. You want instant gratification.
Just to hear.
That's why nothing I say, I hope, is ever pleasing to your ears.
Cool.
What? You found something that I've said that's pleasing to your ears?
Yeah, you like that.
All right.
Just one thing when you talk about conducting your life, the way you'll conduct your life is by constant repentance. You won't conduct it by doing the things that you think you're learning here.
You've heard me say many times that when I was a new believer, it seemed like that's all I did. It seemed like every other breath I was repenting. But then repentance became a state of mind instead of an act. And it was the exception when I wasn't repenting. And I must certainly say that there are many times that I haven't repented. But then, it took the time. I don't think there's anything I haven't repented of. You're not, Paul said, I'm not yet perfect. I'm not yet fully tested. But Christ, by the things that he suffered and by remaining under in all the things, it wasn't just the biggies. It was in his daily life. He had to put up with fools. And most of the time, he was waiting. Remember that? Studied a long time ago, we studied Noah. In the Hebrew, there's this great word, it's Zakar. And God remembered Noah. Well, it doesn't mean, oh, God forgot and now he remembers him. The word Zakar means that it's the appropriate action at the appropriate time. And you have to come to this place in you, no matter what it appears to be. That if whatever you're dealing with, by your waiting on him, then that waiting, at the appropriate time, God will take the appropriate action. But it's nothing in the way your mind sees it. You've got all kinds of opinions and ideas of the way you should be and the way action should happen. And all of that has to be flushed so that you wait only on him and with a perfect faith that he will take the appropriate action at the appropriate time. And then you manifesting that is called wisdom. Prophecy is speaking whatever comes, whatever is there. But wisdom is taking the appropriate action at the appropriate time. Because you are in total obedience or submission to his will. Now the only way you can do that is to know that Jesus Christ is in you. If you don't know that, that's the predicate. If you don't know that, what David said, don't give sleep to your eyes or rest to your head until you find out the habitation of this Holy One of Israel. And until you know that you know that you know, then you're still spiritually, you're still a child. You're running around back, you believe in him, but you don't live by the faith of him. Or you might just sort of, I think Jesus was a nice guy and a good teacher, and he's just one of many of your gods. A little bit. Do we need to spend any more time on obedience? Do you understand what obedience is? All right. And then it says, be wise as. And, well, wise and so on. But let's look and see what Jesus said about it. Go to Matthew 10.
Turn right to it.
No, you didn't. It took you 15 minutes to get there.
Messing on your itinerary this morning.
Let's start out in verse 5. He just went through the fact that he's chosen the 12 apostles. And in verse 5 it says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, at hand, it doesn't mean, well, it's going to happen tomorrow, we'll get it. At hand means it's here. But stay there. You go to Mark 10. Mark 1. Yeah. Verse 14. We're going to go back to Matthew 10. So. He's just finished the temptation. And now verse 14. Now after that, John was put into prison, and Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. It doesn't mean the kingdom of God is coming and there's something going to happen tomorrow. It means from the perspective of him, the time had served its purpose. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. Repent ye and believe God. This is why dispensationalism is so evil. Because it's dispensational. It says, well, God's going to do something now, and then he did it different back then, and then he's going to do it over there. All right. Back to Matthew 10. Anybody have any response? You remember this is supposed to be a dialogue, not a monologue? Or am I such a good speaker you're enthralled? No, that's crap.
All the above.
Are you afraid that all will say something that will offend me? Or they'll say something bad to me?
You don't see it anyway.
What?
Yeah!
Might as well speak then, huh?
I don't think I've ever seen this scripture. I mean, as many times I've read it, how many times, you know, that they
time
actually went out and
preached.
Yes,
that's
right. Yeah. And that,
you know, but God then took the appropriate action at the appropriate time. Now you hear. Now you hear favorably. That's what the meaning of all this stuff is. You know, kick yourself for not hearing before. I might kick you for not hearing.
Oh, that's totally legal. Totally legal. That makes absolute sense. What chapter is that?
I patiently teach that the foes themselves.
Where is that verse?
You want to see
it's
it?
It's actually in the Bible. You don't
Where is it?
That one.
I can't wait to read it.
All right, here we go.
Let's
Second
go.
Timothy. Chapter 2.
Should we keep our finger in Matthew?
Yes.
Yeah.
But don't anybody take that wrong.
What?
Very careful.
Second Timothy what?
Chapter 2.
All right. Read on, Beavis.
Remember, Second Timothy is the last thing that he wrote just before he was beheaded in AD 67. Flee, verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Now this was Paul's instructions. There are three books of the Bible that are called the pastoral epistles. Say that five times.
Pastoral epistles, pastoral epistles, pastoral epistles.
The pastoral epistles are the instructions to the then apostles, Titus and Timothy. So 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus are called the pastoral epistles. And they came really late. So in their instructions to both, Titus became what became the bishop of the churches in Crete. Crete or Cyprus, maybe Crete and Cyprus. And Timothy became the bishop of the churches in Ephesus and out of region. And these, there was not like, you know, a jillion people over that he was over. It was, a bishop has no big meaning. It just means he was the overseer of a few house churches. All right? So it was important. The other 12 were involved in other parts of the world. So here we have the instructions, the last words of Timothy. I mean, of Paul to Timothy. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, and verse 22. Charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all. Apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I may have to work on the gentleness part.
Okay.
Yeah. Just trying to say.
I wasn't
going to
say anything, but since you said it up front, we good.
What?
Meekness, not...
You know what meek is in the scriptures? You want to hear what it is?
I'm ready.
It's a saber-toothed tiger that walks through the room and doesn't take your neck off.
Right, which is really just being there in general.
That's the key thing. I get the saber-toothed tiger Oli comparison.
That doesn't take your neck off.
I think you've taken my neck off.
No, I haven't either. Do you know, I didn't watch anything last night, but I heard in NPR this morning this quote from what the Blessed Prep, what's
her name?
Palin. She said, she was responding, at least from what I heard, she was responding to criticism from the Democrats, and she said, do you know what the difference, because they were about being a hockey mother.
Oh, yeah. So,
you know the difference between a hockey mother, a hockey mom and a pit mom.
Lipstick.
Yeah.
I heard it.
For some reason, I thought that was appropriate. But I don't have any lipstick.
Yeah.
All right. So you found the scripture? Did I find it for you?
I did. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for thanking me. Back to Matthew 10.
Okay.
Yeah. It's warm in here.
Well, he's getting ready to get into rollover minutes.
We're at 5.
Well, we don't have time. We're going to get it rolled. Go down to verse. He's giving his instructions to the disciples. In verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, Paul's reading of that is be wise as, but wise concerning eat, I mean good, but simple concerning eat. Simple here means free from guile. It's simple is a word that means unmixed. It's applied in metals. If once the metal has been heated and everything until it's supposed to be what the metal is. Like if it's silver, it's silver. You know, not mixed with zinc and stuff. Or in wine, there's no water mixed with the wine. So that's what simple means. It means that we wise as sophos, which is where we get the word sophistry, unfortunately. Good as agathos. Now, the word evil is interesting. We're back to Romans. Romans 16. We didn't get very far today, did we? It's your fault, Ronnie.
Mm-hmm.
Please forgive me.
For your obedience is 19. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Now, evil is another great word. It's kakos, which seems it's kind of it sounds like it should mean. But it means the state of being that resulted from the fall.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah.
That's the way Paul always used the word. State of being resulted from the fall. All right?
What a simple word that.
Concerning self-seeking.
Well, you're unmixed.
So it's not a complicated issue.
No.
Very simple.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right?
Yeah. Don't complicate.
All right.
Yeah.
Everybody got a little better understanding of what? Well, let's go to Revelation 2 just a minute. One more scripture, and then we'll get to 20 tomorrow.
Revelation what?
2.
I'm there.
No, you're not.
More revelation than
spirit.
You know where it is?
I don't know where it is.
You're not up to your usual standards this morning, are you?
Yeah, I'm not.
All right. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them that which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. First love is always the presence. Once you lose the presence, then no matter what you do, it's meaningless. That's why, that's the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day the bread of the presence. That's what our daily bread means. Give us this day the bread of the presence. Forgive us as our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So if there's anything you haven't forgiven, then God can't forgive you. And lead us not into temptation. The word lead there is only used twice, both in the New Testament, and it means to go inward for anything. Lead us not into this. Don't go inward for anything. Because you've already done the examined mind or the examined life, and you found it to be lacking. You found it to be vanity. Now, if you haven't found that out, then you won't hear anything else.
Yeah, once you go inward, you start leaning on your own arm of understanding.
Well, you resurrect the evil.
Yeah, because you're trying to figure it out with your own superior brain.
You have a question, Mr. Bojong? Do you agree completely?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Is that what you just said?
No, I just said yes.
Oh.
I said
yes.
Oh.
I hit him if he said sir.
You'd what?
I hit him. Throw the book in my gentle way.
Yeah, in your meek way.
In
your meek, gentle, patient way.
In your way.
I'll teach you to oppose yourself.
He might hit you better.
But I can't run faster than him. I can't run faster than anybody now.
No.
No.
You need him.
Take a big one.
All right, I can hit you either way. You can't run very fast yourself.
I know, but I can run faster than he can.
He knows where you live.
Miss Suzanne?
Yeah.
Totally out of the
Nancy. Oh, okay. I'll come over. Okay. I'll see you then.
Nancy?
Ronnie, can you do me a favor when you go back?
Yeah.
I brought your back the other day.
Oh, well, yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Okay.
What card?
It's for Nancy, but she passed.
Do you hear that Gary's going to be another granddaddy again?
Oh, yeah. Angie's pregnant.
Angie's preggers.
Angie's pregnant.
They went to Florida. To Disney World, and they showed these movies of him, their whole trip, and then at the very end of the movie, they show James walking out with this sign held up, and on the sign it had been written, "I'm going to be a big brother," and that's how she announced it.
That's how she
told everybody. Yeah,
and that's great.
Isn't that fun? Yeah, so we all were sitting there going, "What is what, Angie?"